Internet.
Hello, welcome to Outrage Factory.
Our 10th episode of Outrage Factory.
It's like our...
We're in double digits.
10th anniversary.
That's not...
This is a 10-pole podcast.
Stop talking.
Oh my god, dad jokes.
But we made it to double digits. Thanks to all 50 of our listeners for hanging in with us this long.
I actually want to point out one very special listener, my brother Neil. It's his 41st birthday today, or yesterday.
Happy birthday, Neil.
And since he is the only one that I think has listened to all 10 episodes, because he does it solely to make fun of us and point out where we're wrong.
Yeah, he routinely corrects our factual misunderstandings on Twitter, which is helpful.
Which is basically a layup. I mean, it's low-hanging fruit at this point. But I would just like to say thanks for listening, and you're wrong about me being wrong most of the time.
Yeah, Neil, a very outrageous birthday to you.
And if you would like your birthday announced on our podcast...
Give us money.
Yeah.
Sponsor us.
Lots of money.
Could you even imagine being 41 years old?
Oh, like, my God.
Man.
So old.
Like, well, what do you even have to look forward to?
Do you get
at
a special parking spot?
Retirement?
Yeah.
But...
Well, it's less than 20 or 25 years. You're like, you broke the quarter.
I actually
24.
I don't believe that any of us are ever going to experience
retirement
in our lifetimes.
Well, technically, homelessness is retirement.
That's true.
I think we could experience that before the age of 65.
Pretty big week for Outrage. A lot of it's justified this week, I think. Not a lot of dumb shit, but we had the Bill Cosby mistrial.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
We had the Philando Castile guy in Minneapolis shot 7 times by a police officer.
Oh!
After loudly declaring that he had a gun on him and that he was licensed to carry it, was shot by a police officer. And then a lot of other really dumb shit, which is kind of what we're going to get into.
The dumb shit's usually the best.
Yeah.
Because if it's justified outrage, we can't really say, don't be outraged about this. It's more like, yeah, this is terrible. Continue.
Yeah. I think in terms of justified outrage, both the Cosby thing and the cop getting acquitted.
Yeah. So is Cosby off now? Is that it?
Or no. So it's a mistrial. So it's probably, what, they get a retrial after that? I'm going to admit my ignorance of the justice system. I don't think.
Yeah. Was it a hung jury?
Yeah. So they didn't find one way or the other. It was a mistrial, which I'm pretty sure means they have to go through that whole song and dance again.
Or that's it, isn't it?
I don't know.
Start
talking.
Of all
the
things I researched that we didn't, I researched the genes and a porpoise, but I didn't research the Cosby thing. Or, I guess, the U.S. justice system.
Plan to move this case forward as soon as possible. So it sounds like there is going to be a retrial.
Oh boy, I can't wait for more trial updates from the Cosby thing.
This has been, dragging on for... Well, if you want to go back to when the alleged infractions occurred, like 40, 50 years?
Yeah, and... did you know he allegedly raped, like, Nina Simone?
Yeah.
That's insane. That's me shaking my head. You can't... I'm sorry, I forgot it was an audio-only podcast.
So, this week in Unjustified Outrage... Some shit happened.
Yeah. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with this Julius Caesar. All right. Some New York theater company.
Shakespeare in the Park
doing a rendition of Julius Caesar with Trump.
Whoa. Trump's the main
Trump
character for the Julius Caesar play?
As Julius Caesar.
That is crazy and artistic.
And they're really... being super edgy. We've never seen a
Wow.
president.
Taking a Shakespeare play and replacing it with current events. Wow. Why didn't anybody else think of that?
Baz Luhrmann thought of that.
Yeah. So did everybody else since the 400 years they've been doing Shakespeare plays.
But yeah. But all those other times, we didn't live in this hyper-politicized environment where everyone had to shit their pants. So the right wing flipped out. Okay, granted, there is an extenuating circumstance here in that a crazed left-wing lunatic with a rifle went and shot a U.S. congressman at a baseball, which, by the way,
yeah,
fucking cool as hell. I didn't know there was a U.S. congressional baseball team.
I know. That's... Who do they play? Is there multiple congressional teams, or do they just play, like, Joe Schmoes? And, like, if you were just playing, like, beer league baseball against U.S. congressmen, wouldn't you just slide in a little harder? I mean, even if you like them or hate them, they're still congressmen.
You're yeah.
Like, well, you're not on my side. And is it bipartisanal? Is it Democrats and Republicans
yeah, I think
on
it's,
the same
it's
team?
Both, which is...
That could get heated.
That's something I think it's better than if the Democrats and the Republicans were playing against each other. If they're working together on the same team, which is really the only situation that happens
yeah.
in now. And this might be a big step towards amending a lot of the divides in the parties. Just, like, throw together these intramural sports
teams. Oh, my
God. Make them play together.
How American is that?
That's actually healing the country through baseball. I think that's about as good as it gets.
Does Disney have this movie rights yet?
In this situation, the country was divided by baseball because a Bernie Sanders supporter, as a matter of fact.
Are there still Bernie Sanders supporters?
Oh, this guy, apparently. All the time.
Is he still miffed? That his own party cheated against him to not let Bernie Sanders win?
Well, that's the thing. I don't know why he took a gun up against... Because a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters hate the Democratic Party more than the Republican Party.
Because he was railroaded. I don't see why they take it out on Republicans. Because it's like, hey, the guy I like was illegally stopped from being the leader of the party by the party I still support. So I'm going to shoot you.
He was...
People, it was illegal.
People were manipulated. There were no laws violated.
I'm not researching this.
No one's going to end up in jail because Bernie didn't get the nomination.
No one's going to end up in jail anyway because they're politicians.
But yeah, so this guy went to a congressional baseball practice and unloaded and took down, I think, a couple Republican senators. No one has died, thankfully. Except for the shooter, who was then shot to death. But
good.
But, yeah, so...
Wait, what kind of gun did he have? Was that in the report? I want to know. Like, did he walk in with, like, an Uzi and just, like, give a wave of bullets? Or was it, like, a handgun that he was like, pop, pop,
I want to say assault rifle, but I understand nothing about guns, so...
Assault rifle is, like, a machine gun... is like a huge gun that goes on tanks, and a minigun's a smaller gun, and then a submachine gun is what Uzis are. So they're like little handheld, really fast automatic fires, but they have the same power as a handgun. And assault rifle is like a regular rifle.
So but an automatic barrel. Rifle, right?
Yeah, and you can have it automatic or semi-automatic.
You've learned all these things from video games.
Yes, I have.
This is where you're dropping this knowledge from.
Never shot an assault rifle. Actually... I did
Have you shot a gun before?
I've shot many guns.
I've never touched a gun
Dude,
in my life.
Dude, they're loud as shit.
I've done, like, paintball guns, like pellet guns, obviously.
Yeah. Technically still guns, but I've shot a .22, a shotgun, which I think was a 12-gauge, but it was pump action, so that was fun.
Killer.
It's like you shoot and then pump. And I shot, I think it was an SK something or other, which is a little assault rifle that has less, it has about the same power as a .22, which is small caliber, and it's the only legal assault rifle. I don't even know if it's called an assault rifle, but it's the only legal one you can get in Canada, because Canada has super strict laws against assault rifles. Because they don't want you to shoot up Trudeau's baseball team.
Trudeau is too busy.
Neil,
for the
research
camera.
This. Prove us wrong.
Yeah, but this guy went unloaded on senators. So, of course, the right went and flipped out and said that this attack was the result of the left encouraging violence against Trump and the Republicans, which is fucking just stupid. Just a stupid thing to say. Like,
well, yeah.
No one is advocating that. Okay. Maybe some people are advocating for it, but those
people
are crazy
people. Oh, there's a lot of
people
advocating violence against the right wing. We could say that.
I don't even know.
Like Kathy Griffin last week.
Fuck. Okay. But yeah, they're saying this is another situation where, because they have Trump standing in for Julius Caesar in this play.
Not the real Trump. It's an actor portraying Trump.
That's right. And he's not actually getting murdered in the play. It's a fake murder because these people are actors.
Oh, yeah. I
want to clarify they're not cloning Trump and bringing out Trumps and killing them actually on stage here, which is, judging from the reaction, you would never, ever know that.
You know what I want to know? Who plays Brute?
Or Brutus? I don't, and that's the other, like, have these people, the people getting upset about this, have they ever seen fucking Julius Caesar? Like,
I'm gonna say no, that, like, these,
Brutus is not the hero of that play at all.
He's the bad guy.
He is the villain, so.
Julius Caesar actually ends up being the hero, doesn't he?
Yeah,
Julius. He unites Rome and raises it to power, oh boy. It's been a while since I read Julius Caesar.
But yeah, and then he gets murdered in cold blood and.
Stabbed in the back.
And looking at that play, you could only infer that, like, yeah, they threw Trump in to be more contemporary, I guess, and to maybe give it a little bit of edge. But
because nobody gives a fuck about Julius Caesar anymore.
Thematically, you look at the play, and they're basically saying that Trump is the hero, and
that should be the outrage,
Brutus,
because Julius Caesar made Rome so much better and made it rise to power. Are they inferring that Trump is going to make America great again and rise to power? Is this actually a pro-right-wing play?
I
one could argue.
Knowing the theater industry and how crazy left it skews, I'm going to say no.
What if it's like, what if the guy who, like, changed it to Trump is actually secretly a rabid Republican, and he's like, this will finally vindicate Trump.
We need to start researching shit more.
Well, I don't think we're going to be able to research the secret motives of the playwright.
Yeah, who could look up a playwright's political leanings? Look at his fucking Twitter feed. It's probably all over that. He's either praising Trump or knocking Trump.
that's
who,
true.
Who talks about their political beliefs
who
anymore?
Knows how to search Twitter history and names?
So, right wing went nuts. First of all, organized a boycott. Some major corporate sponsors, I think American Express and Delta Airlines, pulled out of Shakespeare in the Park, said we're not going to sponsor this.
Oh, no.
Which, tragic, I'm sure, some other corporate sponsors.
I, for one, am for no one supporting it because I don't like Shakespeare. I had to read several plays of his in college, and I did not enjoy a single one. So,
such a philistine.
Just good to
appreciate
you.
The arts, man.
Yeah, just do other playwrights that are more interesting.
Arthur Miller? I could go for that.
Yeah. Death is a Salesman with Trump as the guy who kills himself.
Yeah, there you go. Whoa, that's violent. Just kidding. Please don't boycott our podcast.
I'm going to get my baseball team shut up for statements.
Yeah, or
like
we'll
that.
We'll have our sponsors, which don't exist, pulling out. And then last night, I think, we... one guy, I can't even believe this person, Jack Posobiec? Posobiec?
Posobiec?
I don't care. Posobiec? This guy is...
Posobiec.
He looks like a, like, 20-year-old playing dress-up in his dad's suits, and this guy actually got fired by the Rebel for having too toxic of opinions, which is how does that happen?
He was also known for helping spread the Pizzagate
rumor.
Theory.
He's been spreading the Seth Rich rumor. For those of you who aren't in the know, Seth Rich is he was a DNC staffer who was murdered. And all these right-wing conspiracy theorists like this guy and Mike Cernovich, Alex Jones, were all talking about how he was murdered the DNC.
Yeah, it was set up to look like a mugging, but they didn't take his watch, so it obviously wasn't a mugging.
Yeah. So that's actually what got this Jack kid fired from the Rebel, and then since then this guy imagines himself to be some sort of provocateur. So they showed up at the play last night. His Laura Loomer, who is also a writer for the Rebel, which is Rebel's making some waves in U.S. politics.
Oh yeah,
which is for a niche Canadian right wing blog. They definitely have people pulling these ridiculous stunts and getting them some exposure, which is good for them, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they are, like, the shittiest thing to happen in Canadian journalism ever.
Yeah.
Storm the stage screaming about how we have an audio clip, so let's we'll play that here.
Freedom. Stop the normalization of political violence against All right? Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to pause. We're going to pause. Security. Security, please.
Nazis like Joseph Goebbels. This is Goebbels. You are all Goebbels. You are inciting terrorists. The blood of Steve Scalise is on your hands. The blood of Steve Scalise is on your hands. Goebbels would be proud. Goebbels would be proud. Goebbels would be proud.
Come this way.
Okay, you are all Goebbels, man.
Yeah, you guys are contributing to the violence against Scalise.
Yeah, the whole thing is just so cringeworthy, and the worst thing is that you have all these, like, this guy legitimately believes he's some sort of, like, freedom fighter against, like, leftist oppression.
Leftist oppression.
Like,
there's a good one.
I don't understand, and you have, like, hundreds of thousands of people supporting this guy.
Yeah.
And I don't know what has happened to people's brains that they don't look at this and just, like, feel embarrassed.
And have their skin crawl with cringe. What happened in the video at first was a lady ran onto the stage.
That was Laura Loomer, Rebel TV something or other.
And
I don't care.
The guy was taping it, and then after probably more applause than the show got at the finish security took her off stage, and then he stood up. He was the one recording it on his phone, and that's when he said Goebbels, but put an R in it for some reason.
Goebbels.
Goebbels. Which it doesn't have an R in it for reference.
Yeah, I'm not even sure what reference he was trying to make there. Goebbels was the propaganda minister for the Nazis.
Oh, maybe he's saying this is propaganda.
It's
a leap.
Like, what is that? Is that some sort of deep and like his brain's busted. all these people who have spent the last I don't even know how long freaking out about freedom of speech and acting like their speech is seriously being limited.
Yeah.
Show up at this play to interrupt
free speech.
I don't understand.
And character license, which would be a step above free speech, wouldn't it?
It's not guaranteed in the Constitution, but this is not. I don't think anyone can look at this and say, this play is actually advocating violence against Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Even going back to the Kathy Griffin thing, it was in incredibly poor taste and mm-hmm. very stupid, but I don't think any sane person would look at that and say, Kathy Griffin wants me to cut Donald Trump's head off.
Yeah.
Keep coming back to this every podcast, but like, I honestly don't understand what the end game is here. Like, I don't know if we end up in a country where you have these two factions that are just at each other's throats all the time.
Yeah.
The left and the right. When really, like, I'm going to have a We Are the World moment. Like, we're not that different, guys. Like, sorry. Yeah. You might believe that abortion is a crime, and I might think that a woman has a right to choose, and you might think that corporations should pay less taxes, and I might think they should pay more. And you might be pro-environment, and I might be not anti-environment. What's the other?
You're right, Derek. I saw you digging holes just to ruin the earth.
I fucking hate this planet.
Fuck this field. I'm going to put some holes in it.
Murdering trees for fun. Poisoning them.
Pushing them over.
But, like, beyond those beliefs, like, we're still all human beings. We still all have the same dumb flaws and the same...
It's very sweet, Derek.
You look at, like, how humanity has kind of advanced to the stage we're at right now.
Yeah.
And it's been through collectivism. It's been through working together in pursuit of a common goal and mm-hmm. advancing ourselves. And if we just have all these, like, little shitty micro-warring factions, what happens?
Bad. The military-industrial complex gets free run of the country and we're all stuck squabbling over pitchers and players.
Yeah, that's honestly what it feels like at this point. Like, it's like we're being not manipulated, because I don't think there's any manipulation behind the scenes going on. I think that we are actually that dumb. But we're fighting with an imaginary enemy, which is people who have different political beliefs than us. Yeah. And meanwhile, like, you have, like, wage inequality rising, and the middle class is being eradicated, and the rich people are getting super rich, and everyone else is getting super poor. And nobody really seems to give a shit about that. They care about sticking it to the left or to the right.
And, like, what each party is saying, and whatever Trump's done that's atrocious. And it's like, yeah, we get it. Trump's a terrible person, but can we move on and talk about other stuff?
Well, yeah, or even, like, it's gotten to the point now where, like, everything Trump does is, like, you remember the last, well, it was probably the last 6 months of Stephen Harper's reign in Canada.
Yeah.
Where it was just, like, this shrill bleeding over everything he did. Like, it didn't matter what Stephen Harper did. You had people losing their goddamn mind over it. And, like, yeah, some of the stuff Stephen Harper did was not great, but a lot of it, like, who fucking cares?
Yeah.
And we see that now with, like, Trudeau took a nanny with him to, so I'm gonna come out and say, there was an awesome editorial in a UK newspaper after Jeremy Corbyn's, not victory there, but obviously the Labour Party did very good. And there was this editorial contrasting Trudeau versus Corbyn, and it basically says, like, Trudeau is all hype, and he's, like, a right-winger in leftist clothing.
Yeah.
And made a really, like, a lot of really good points, and it was this really well-done takedown of Trudeau versus Corbyn, who's actually, like, a very left-wing dude, and, like, legitimately gives a shit about his constituents, and, like, isn't just some selfie-taking opportunist, but is, like, an actual man of the people.
But how's Corbin's hair?
Well, yeah, like, that's what we awful, because really he's, like, 90 years old, so it's not going to be that great.
Yeah.
But I definitely recommend checking out that editorial, and stop bitching over all these minute things. Like, focus on, like, one or two things that are super important to you.
Tweet out the link to that.
Later. Let everything out. Yeah, I'll tweet it from our podcast account after this.
Which is a trick to make you follow our Twitter account.
Which, by the way, good call, Zale. At Outrage Facts Pod on the old Twitter machine.
Yeah.
Going into the hyper partisan thing, there's actually a...
Oh, yeah.
So this is being facilitated on some level, because people are now realizing that nothing drives engagement or this feeling of belonging, or even drives votes, like just sticking it to the other side. So there was a Pew Research Center analysis of 200,000 press releases and Facebook posts from members of the 114th Congress, and it basically ran all these posts and press releases through computational analysis. And when these congressmen and women actually got indignant and like firmly disagreed and made posts that were like very partisan and negative towards the other party, they found that they got way more engagement, way more comments, way more shares, probably get some way more votes from their constituents.
And what they did was they went on Facebook and they found that on indignant disagreement posts, likes, the average was just under 500 likes. Comments were in the 80s, and shares were around 112. And so they took all those together, and it's pretty funny because you can actually go to the website and there's this guy Reed who's at the top of all of it.
That would be Harry Reid, who was the
60% of his posts are indignant.
Indignant.
Did I put an extra syllable?
Yeah, you did. Aww. It's okay. It helps. Poop makes you sound smarter.
It does.
But yeah, you look at we are very much, which is awesome for this podcast, but we're living in like the outrage economy now, where stuff that drives you look at like. The most liked tweets or most shared Facebook posts or trending topics any day of the week is going to be stuff that's really pissing people off.
Yeah,
that's designed to piss people off.
And the thing is, it's true. Like, they say sex sells, but I think we're getting away from that and getting more into angry sells, because this is just more proof that if you want to get people on your side, you just get them pissed off at the other side.
Yeah.
And...
yeah, and I would much rather be bitching about somebody with different political beliefs than me than having sex. Who wants to do that? That's weird.
I mean, if I had to pick between the two, definitely being angry at someone on the opposite end of the political spectrum than having sex.
Yeah, when I'm when I'm owning libs online, nothing arouses me more than that.
Yeah. To completion. When you're arguing online, to completion.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you gotta finish up. Wipe yourself down and back to the... But yeah, it's you know, outrage is, it's, and maybe that's something that's,
it's the economic model going forward.
Well, it's come with the rise of social media too, yeah. Right? Like, now we're exposed to stuff that we can get pissed off about.
And it's so easy to get stuff through the filters, because before, for you to see someone's, like, there's always been pissed off, angry politicians who are mad at the other side, but it would take more effort for them to get it through, like, a newspaper, because the editor would be like, I'm not writing that. That's just petty and squabbling.
Well, there's, yeah, and it might be, like, factually, like, why?
And now you could just be like, and it's out, and your anger's just out in the world.
And that's why you see this generation of, they're at least famous on Twitter. I don't know if anyone beyond Twitter really knows who these people are, but you do see them starting to get mainstream exposure. Like, I'll say it, like, the Cernoviches, Alex Jones.
Yeah.
There's Louise Mensch on the left is another one. And these are people who have just, like, built these huge, like, cult followings online. This Jack Posobiec, Ezra Levant, have built...
Oh, but Ezra Levant has been a dickhead for years.
Yeah, but he was kind of, he was ahead of the curve on that one. Like, yeah. he launched the Rebel, what, like 5-6 years ago?
Yeah.
And now it's taking off, and it's booming in an era where traditional journalism has taken a huge hit. And
yeah.
It's because this guy knows, like, he makes his shitty, inflammatory clickbait articles, and people are reading them, so...
Yeah, it's like you took shock rock from the music industry and just turned it into journalism, yeah. And now you're just like, I'm gonna piss everybody off.
I want to say, like, the world's biggest fucking air quotes around journalism when we use it in this context, because none of these people are reporting anything. They're just,
that's true,
they're selling you outrage. They're giving you shit to be angry about. Another really interesting article kind of in this line from Media Shift is talking about there's this 22-year-old from the Republic of Georgia launched a Facebook page called True Trumpers. Same thing. This guy cracked it. Like, they interview the guy. He says, basically, no, I'm not a Trump supporter. I don't give a shit about Trump. Like, I think Trump supporters are a lot more likely to click through and share and, like, expose themselves to the advertising on my site.
Yeah.
So this guy essentially set up this page that just, and this is where they were talking about all the fake news that came out during the election.
Yeah.
This guy will just, like, write up little inflammatory posts and put inflammatory pictures on them and share them to the page, and they'll get, like, hundreds of thousands of likes. People are clicking through, seeing ads.
Nice.
It's a business model.
Taking clickbait to the political spectrum.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Well, it's good, but good for him for making a dollar, I guess.
Yeah, but now we're now seeing that bleed through into, like, so everything. So it extends beyond politics, and we see people getting outraged over the dumbest shit.
Which is why we have our podcast.
Yeah, and I do not foresee this changing. Like, I think anger will be the defining emotion of the information age.
Yes.
Which takes us to I wanted to touch on this. Yeah, this is not political. We're getting off the politics thing for the rest of the podcast here.
I hate politics more than you do, listener. Trust me.
Yeah, I'm just getting sick of talking about it at this point. Yeah. And the same people every fucking time doing dumb things.
Yeah.
So this is a new one. This this actually melted my brain. Are you familiar with this? This Laura Lania, Twitter user. She's a Twitch streamer, apparently.
Yeah.
She went to, she was at E3.
I'm going to back up because I'm sure there are members of our listening audience who don't know what Twitch is.
Okay, what? So, no, give our listeners some credit.
Okay, they probably know what Twitch is. No, go ahead. Okay, so anyways, what Twitch is it's a channel that you can go on in your Xbox or PS4 or online gaming on your PC. And you, through your webcam, you stream yourself. So it'll be a video of you playing and a video of your game screen. Because apparently the market of watching other people play video games is exploding. And I'm not really going to... I'm going to dance around this subject, but pretty girls have been showing themselves playing video games, and they're getting a lot of attention from their fans. And there's one Twitch streamer, would you say Laurelania?
Yeah, Laurelania. Did you read up on this story?
Yeah, I read. She went missing.
So she went missing for 24 hours. 20 hours, whatever.
Yeah.
This E3 conference is going on, which is a big video game conference for all the nerds out there.
Well, basically, it's just all the video game companies like Nintendo, Xbox announce their upcoming titles and any hardware updates that they're going to do for their systems. So she was there, and she was supposed to go to a couple meetings and meet with people, and then she never showed up. So her friend freaked out and put it up on Twitter that she was missing.
Which I think is reasonable. Like, if someone went missing, like, yeah, hey, I know everyone else is at this conference. You know, if you've seen this person, please let me know.
Yeah.
But then the amplification effect of Twitter went into play. You had all these, like, huge gamers and, like, YouTube personalities.
I mean, yeah, when a pretty gamer girl's missing, the gamer dudes and everyone alike goes into crisis mode. And it just exploded into this thing. The Anaheim police were involved. They were notified of the situation.
Yeah, so turns out girl showed up, tweeted, like, yeah, it was 20 hours later or something, tweeted about how she had gone off the grid, had gone to a casino on an all-night gambling bid.
Yeah, she wanted to play poker with friends, and she's a video game player, so you could see how someone like that would be antisocial and want to just disappear. And she had said that her phone had died, so she borrowed some fans' phones to post a video that was like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it to get this out of hand, I just went to play poker.
Here, and because I've now figured out how to do this, let's listen to what she had to say after she was found.
That would be better than me describing it for sure.
Hi guys, I stopped these two lovely young ladies here. They helped me grab their phone because, as I had said, mine are dead, completely dead. I am fine. This is Andrea. I'm shaking because this is crazy. I am so sorry. I never meant to cause any of this. I just wanted to have a day alone and playing poker. I like late night poker. It's something that I do. I never in a million years would have thought that this kind of thing would happen. I am sorry.
Yeah. Oh. Normal-ish thing, I guess?
It was kind of a bitchy response, like, I like playing poker, I like doing that all night, I don't need to make my previous commitments of panels and such at E3 and meetings and stuff, I just want to I didn't like her tone.
So, okay, whatever, fuck her tone, I don't give a shit, but the thing, okay, so, of course, after this, proving that gamers are the most well-adjusted group of people on the planet, people went off. So you had, like, you know, natural response, person's been missing for 20 hours, you find out they're okay, you're relieved, you're just like, okay, well, I'm glad nothing shitty happened to that person, I'm gonna go on with my life, this is a stranger I don't really care that much about.
Yeah.
So, people started... First, they started attacking her for faking the whole thing to
Of course, because it's her fault.
To get social media exposure and to gain followers and to get viewers on her Twitch stream. Which, by the way, I cannot believe there are people out there who can make a living having other people just watch them play video games.
I know. And I tried it once and nobody watched. So fuck you, Twitch universe. That,
I will give a shout out. We do have a friend, Keenan Foster, who is starting his own Twitch channel.
It's Horse Snorkel.
Horse Snorkel. Check him out if you get the chance.
Yeah.
Hoping he will also plug our podcast. But yeah, it's like, it would be like if we made a living doing this podcast.
Which would be nice.
It would be nice, but no one's ever going to give us money for this.
I mean, I thought we'd be rich by episode 10.
Oh, we have actually started a Patreon? Patreon?
Patreon.
Patreon?
Patreon.
You can give us money?
Yeah, it's you pledge money per month, then it goes to an account, and we can do rewards like, say, you give us $20 a month, we'll give you some swag. We don't have any swag yet, but it's in the works. I'm thinking about mostly stickers to start with, because I don't know if you've seen our logo of the building. It's pretty cool.
That's a Dale DeRuiter original.
A super handsome guy.
$50 a month, Dale will give you a hand job.
Wow. That's... Actually, yeah.
And $10 change.
Yeah.
Yeah, so people flipped out on her for just doing it for exposure. And then, of course, it made its way to 4chan and Reddit, which is where the really well-adjusted gamers hang out.
Oh, totally.
And all of a sudden, you had people, all these internet detectives sleuthing and figuring out that... like, people actually went to the link where they, like, Google mapped Los Angeles and, like, found the hotel that she was staying at and, like, triangulated her exact location based on the background of this video we just watched. Like, it's insane. And all these people were like, oh, she was cheating on her boyfriend, which is, like...
Oh, snap.
Yeah, so everyone's, like, tweeting at her boyfriend about how she was banging some other dude. And ultimately, it came down to, like, this chick having to go... and share, like, photos of her ATM slips from the casino to prove she was there. And just, like, an insane, insane situation out of nothing that, like, I don't know when in the past 5 years that we all decided this was, like, unacceptable. Like, oh, this person went missing and now they're back. Well, I'm gonna I'm gonna turn on them and, you know,
when did the typical
break up their relationship
reaction become an overreaction?
Yeah.
It just seems lately, like, if you're not completely losing your shit and overreacting, you're not paying attention. And that's crazy. Like Derek said, she was back with it. There's a reason police say has it been 24 hours.
48 hours, which apparently is... I was just reading some of the threads when this chick first went missing, and everyone was talking about how that's... You don't actually have to wait 48 hours to file a missing persons report.
No, it's 24, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, I thought it was like... Well, for... Yeah, because that's a day. That gives enough time for someone to go on an all-night poker binge, have a nap, and then wake up and realize what went on.
Yeah.
But, like... Yeah, I think they say 48 hours is typically if you don't catch a murderer in 48 hours, you're going
to... You do not have to wait 24 hours to report someone is missing. If you have serious concerns for the safety and welfare of a person and their whereabouts are unknown, you may immediately report them missing to your local police.
Oh.
Also good to know, if you ask an undercover cop if they're a cop, they don't have to tell you.
What?
That's also made up.
What?
I know.
I thought that was entrapment.
No, they can lie to you. They can
Hollywood,
continue trapping you.
Fuck you. Yeah. I could go to jail and it'd be Hollywood's fault.
This is the last time I take legal advice from movies and TV shows.
Are you a cop? No. Okay, give me all those drugs. Why am I going to jail? I asked if you were a cop. This is outrage.
This is bullshit. I would like you to call my lawyer. I would like it to be Jim Carrey from Liar Liar.
Maybe Laurelania disappeared because she asked a cop if they were a cop and they said no. And then she went to jail.
It could be. Also, 24 hours a gap, like, that's not something I have the financial or physical stamina for. Like, I could not commit to 24 hours of gambling. I don't think
no.
That's a...
God. My bank account can barely commit to 24 minutes of gambling. But me, personally, I would definitely... I haven't pulled an all-nighter since I was 19.
It's been a while, yeah.
And I don't think I can anymore. Like, go through college, people will be like, oh, I stayed up all night studying. I'd be like, I went to sleep because I'm not a monster.
Well, even now, like, if we pulled that shit as close to 40-year-olds.
Oh, my God.
You would just imagine the fallout. Like, you would be off for, like, the next month. You would just be like, I ruined my life.
We would have to go on disability leave. Our body would just shut down. I'm sure something would just mysteriously break. Our body would be like, fuck you, go to sleep, and our arm would just break.
So yeah, I think moral of the story, it's okay to not care about things. Like, don't...
That you're not directly involved in. Yeah. I mean, if a person you care about went missing, then yeah, it's okay to care. But if a Twitch streamer you've never met or care about goes missing, maybe don't care.
Or even, like, care, but care at a distance. Don't feel like you have to... Like, I actually thought this was gonna, like, blow up into this... like Gamergate 2.0.
Oh my god.
Because the whole the thing that started all of Gamergate, which is like this fucking 3-year ordeal that there's still fallout from.
Yeah.
Was a relationship between a guy and a girl. And the guy broke up with his girlfriend. His girlfriend was a game developer. And this guy wrote this huge blog post about how his girlfriend had emotionally abused him and cheated on him, which is like fucking fine, man. Like you had a shitty breakup, you wanted to lash out.
Quit being a whiny baby. Like,
best thing I ever did was something in the same vein, not really in the same vein, but when a girlfriend of mine broke up with me and left me for her roommate at the time, I like. Biggest dirty laundry airing I've ever done, but like posted it on wrote up this like you know diatribe, posted it on Facebook.
Did you start Gamergate?
It almost blew over and no, because neither one of us is even remotely involved with video games, which again I'm gonna say, super healthy culture you got there, guys. If you identify as a gamer, you are definitely a well-adjusted human being.
I want to say, as a gamer, I'm more of a casual gamer. I don't take it seriously enough or pay enough attention to be serious. But I just want to say, it's okay to play video games online without talking to each other, because you're all pretty much annoying and my mic is always off because maybe I want to just screw around in the field and not shoot bad guys. You don't have to scream at me and call me names and tell me what you did to my mother. Because you're just getting your hopes up.
Hearing some 12-year-old just like unleash this like stream of Tourette's. like where did you learn to talk like that? Like
other gamers.
Probably.
Other people who did stuff to their mothers and now they're bitter.
Speaking of doing stuff to mothers, Dale's here with some fly new pants that will help you do just that.
The Rugged American. Okay, so Nordstrom posted a while ago that, I don't know, it was a month or two ago, that they were going to make these Rugged Americana jeans, which looked like they had fake mud on them, and they were sold for $425. And there was a huge outlash, and Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs said he just tore down these jeans. He's like, there's people actually working hard out there to capitalize on this culture is terrible and wrong. And you're copying the super annoying plot from Zoolander.
That is true.
And Mike Rowe didn't say you can derelict my balls, but I'm just going to pretend that's what he said. So in our effort to do more research from follower from fan feedback, I went on the Nordstrom website and tried to find these Rugged Americana jeans, which they don't sell. Maybe they rethought their
product design. They probably sold out.
So, but they sell other jeans, like they have these Demon Slim straight leg jeans for $248, and they have not only fake mud but slashed holes in them, which I guess if you're going to buy jeans that make it look like you work hard, you'd want the ones with the slashes in them, because not only did you get dirty, but you fake work so hard you ripped your pants. And then they also have another, these ones are my favorite. They're called the Barracuda Straight Leg, and they don't have fake mud on them. They have fake paint. I guess it'd be real paint, but
No, probably.
And in the description, it says, look as though you've put in long hours of labor or just finished painting your masterpiece in ultra-distressed paint splatter jeans cut into a straight classic straight fit. And I imagine a whole bunch of you just got angry at that, because I don't know anybody who's working on their masterpiece that's going to buy $258 jeans.
Yeah, no, artists don't have money for shit. Like,
that's why nobody wants to be an artist.
Yeah.
Unless you know that one artist who somehow magically sold all their art and got super rich and famous. But I don't think they're going to buy painted on jeans.
Even the artists don't get famous until after they die, normally.
Yeah, most of them. The most notorious ones. But even then, they're probably just going to make their own jeans, so.
Yeah. My rebuttal to Mike Rowe would be, maybe if these people who are going out there and putting in hard labor in their jeans and getting real mud on them started selling their dirty jeans for $400. They wouldn't have to work so hard anymore.
The problem with that is as soon as you wash them, all the mud's gone. Well, that's you got to get the fake mud that stays in the wash.
Don't wash them. Put it on the washing instructions.
Yeah, it would be
do
like,
not wash.
These are, you work so much harder than these fake mud jeans that these are actually swamp pants and are rancid because no, they got covered in mud and we didn't wash them.
Also, I don't wash my jeans ever.
That's not something you tell the internet.
But that's I don't. You're not supposed to
what
wash.
What if you
jeans.
Spill stuff on them?
Then you do little. I do like spot wiping on them, but I don't. I'll throw them in a washing machine.
I wash my jeans. You don't dry your jeans for sure.
Yeah, you're not supposed to wash them either, because then it takes all the rich indigo dye out.
Whatever.
And then you end up with some shitty faded jeans.
What about all these
jeans?
Pants that you're paying $250 to rip? Don't you want to wear out your jeans?
Yeah, I would never wash those.
Yeah. I don't know. I wash my jeans. Probably not as often as other people wash them. I just, like, I wash them when I spill food on them, which is...
Every day.
Often enough. Every time I'm wearing clothes or eating.
When I eat.
Sometimes I'll be eating and I'll spill food on clothes I'm not even wearing. Ayo! I'm here all night. Okay. Talked about... Oh, man, our segues are such dog shit.
Yeah, they're not. We're not on our segue game today.
But there's no real... pants segue we can get into.
You know who doesn't wear pants? Whales. Moving on.
Oh wow. Okay, I take it back. Our segue game is back on top. Back on top. So anyways, everybody who knows about the Vancouver Aquarium knows that
for those of you who don't know, Dale and I are from Vancouver. It's a city in Canada. It's very nice. You should come visit sometime.
Yeah.
We have an aquarium.
Is this just wishful thinking? We have listeners from other countries?
That I actually, it was actually probably all your brother, but if I look at the stats on SoundCloud, our number one geographical source of listeners is Calgary.
Do we have to stop making fun of Calgary?
No.
Oh,
we're
okay.
Not gonna
do that. I guess they're like right now they're all like, Calgary.
We're not gonna do that.
Yeah. So anyways, the Vancouver Aquarium, the bylaw passed a ban on all cetaceans, which
that's a fancy word for whales.
Is the science word for whales
and dolphins.
Dolphins and it's I think it's
porpoises. Sharks.
Oh god. You Wikipedia
shark,
and I'll pretend I know what that word means.
Is a shark a cetacean?
No, a shark is a fish. I think it's basically all marine mammals. What's
whales, dolphins, porpoises.
Whales.
Shazam.
And large fish or not large fish?
No.
Does that say no large
fish?
Fish
are not mammals. I can tell you that much conclusively.
Because they lay eggs instead of live births and they need real air instead of air through their gills.
Yes, correct.
So anyways, so all this passes, everybody virtue signaled how glad they were that no poor whales were held in captivity and... forced to have such a horrible existence of having to do nothing but to get to eat for free and just play around and be removed from all their predators. Anyways, regardless how you feel on it, something ironic recently happened. On June 15th, the aquarium started legal action to appeal the ban of the cetaceans. And then that night, Daisy, one of their harbor porpoises, one of only three cetaceans left in the park, died of pulmonary disease.
Which, I mean, I don't know if that's something.
But it was natural, and even though harbor porpoises can live up to 20 years old, experts say 10 years is a more likely lifespan because 20 is an exceptional range for only... Very rarely do harbor porpoises.
Yeah, but you have to think what's impacting that average. Like, are we talking about porpoises in the wild where they have to contend with predators, or are these specifically porpoises in captivity?
But also, another thing is, Daisy, who died at the age of 9, would have reached her average lifespan anyway, but they rescued her when she was a month old. So they've had her for her whole 9 years of her life, she's been in the aquarium. And you could say that's good or bad, but... If you have...
It's bad.
If you have...
That's a bad thing.
Harbor seal, or harbor porpoise, who
is
was...
Is a seal a cetacean?
No.
I'm just fucking with you.
Is
Continue.
It?
Continue. No.
Oh my god. So anyways, what I'm saying basically is if you have this animal from a month old in captivity, how do you reintroduce it into the wild? There you just go, hey, hopefully a killer whale doesn't eat you on your way out of the bay.
Yeah, that's the argument that a lot of people made for them continuing to keep whales in captivity at the aquarium, but I think it's bullshit. If you don't put them in captivity in the first place, then...
Well, I'm just saying she was so young when they got her. She was a month old.
Yeah.
I don't know how big whales are at that point. I'm guessing the size of a medium-sized dog. But anyways, no, I'm not defending the Vancouver Aquarium's right to have animals, and I'm not saying they shouldn't, because I lazily am indifferent, really, on the ban. But what I'm saying is...
Yeah, it's true. Mostly I just like jabbing at people who, like, really crazily support the aquarium.
Yeah, I don't support it because it's expensive to go there, and I've only been there twice in my life, and... So them have, like, I was excited when they used to have killer whales because I actually got to see a whale close up. And then later I realized, yeah, maybe the whale was too big for the tank or whatever and it was mean. But they haven't had killer whales in, like, almost 20 years probably.
They had a couple belugas.
Yeah, and they gave those up. And then, yeah, right now they only have small, unexciting cetaceans.
They have the otters. As long as they have otters, man, I will always go back
to
Vancouver.
Let's not get back into the otter talk. I think we've covered that well on
previous long as
podcasts.
They have otters,
yeah,
I will always be there.
Yeah, but my main point is this. Yeah, can you just... I'm not an animal expert. It's more asking, hey, people who maybe know vets or zookeepers, can you just release an animal and will they adapt and be fine?
No, those animals will die, absolutely. Like, general theory is that if you have an animal captivity and you release it into the wild, it's not going to have any fucking clue what to do with itself. It's like if you put a fabulously wealthy person on, like, an island, say at a failed music festival, they will probably die. But yeah, that's... animals will die, but we have this whole thing called natural selection.
I mean, if you wanna hire someone with a rowboat to follow a whale, I gladly not volunteer because you'll have to pay me enough money to quit my job. But I will follow a whale with a harpoon
and anytime
some other, like, killer whale or shark comes in to attack my pet whale, I will protect it. Like a gladiator.
That would actually make a great children's book, possibly.
Until you harpoon an animal and kill it.
Yeah, you probably couldn't show that graphically at all.
Yeah.
But...
And then you'd get in the whole moral issues of killing a wild animal to protect a captive animal. And that's a lot of moral...
Yeah, we don't really care. Do we care about wild animals? I thought we just care about the animals we can pay money to see.
I know we care about wild whales. Because we definitely want people to stop killing them. Because when we ride the ferry, we might see them, like, as a dot in the distance.
I've seen, yeah, exactly one whale. I've lived here for, 12 years now?
Yeah.
I've seen one whale.
Yeah. That's what I'm butthurt about. Why don't I get to see whales? I like whales. Don't they know?
Life is so unfair.
Can't the universe deliver whales for me to see so I can have a spiritual experience with them? Are we running out of steam?
Yeah, I think... we're coming up on 55. I did want to touch on something really quick. Vancouver Sun gave, for whatever fucking reason, gave a platform to, I don't know the dude's name. He's a senior fellow at the Fraser Institute, and he's a former minister of immigration, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But he's gave him an editorial on how Canada was losing... Canadians were losing their identity by allowing foreigners to come here. Or how, he was like how natural Canadians were being edged out.
Oh, yeah, because basically...
Ex-Ambassador Fraser Institute senior fellows. Population replacement is what he was saying.
Yeah, so basically the old immigrants who built Canada are being replaced by new immigrants.
Yeah.
And that's bad because he's one of the old immigrants, and he wants to keep the stuff he has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, that's a more honest way of looking at it, but he didn't phrase it as old immigrants and new immigrants. He was like Canadians.
Yeah.
And then immigrants, which is fucking stupid because...
Yeah.
At one point is someone a Canadian?
Well, when they come, when they get their Canadian citizenship.
Okay, but even you have, like, people, people who immigrate here.
Hands-off answer.
And that's a good one, but you have people who emigrate here from other countries and get their citizenship who are, like, not white and have different cultural beliefs.
Yeah.
But they're still Canadians, so what, who's being edged out?
Like, so what he's basically saying is he's upset because who he views as Canadians, which would be, I guess, white, middle European,
English, Dutch, German,
French. All the people who came over in the 50s and prior. Like, my dad didn't come over till I think 1959. He was 3 years old. He rode a boat. Whatever.
Your first natural.
Yeah, so that makes me first generation Canadian.
Interesting.
So, and my dad was actually considered a landed immigrant well into his 50s because he was too lazy to get his full citizenship. So I'm truly first generation. And it's annoying because people are all like, oh, they're taking our culture and blah, 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 replacing it with theirs. And it's like, well, yeah, that's what Canadians do. They make pockets of their own little culture. And
yeah. That's, like, what we've always done. Like,
yeah, they have their, like, it's, the U.S. is the melting pot where you're all supposed to turn into Americans, but Canada's unofficial slogan is the multicultural rainbow, where everybody's, where we celebrate our multiculturalism and give little cities, like, there's Chinatown.
So you have areas within cities, but then you also have, like, the culture in Vancouver has always been markedly different from, I could take you to small towns in Saskatchewan right now where you would swear you're in France because everyone is, like, extremely French or extremely German. Like, there's these little pockets of...
And Ukrainian is a huge... In the prairies, there's a huge Ukrainian section, and which is awesome.
Great sausage. Great sausage.
I like pierogies.
Great sausage.
Yeah. So it's basically these people got used to white European culture, and they don't want their pierogies replaced with butter chicken or something like that.
Which, I mean, all the food's delicious.
I mean, butter chicken pierogies is the obvious answer.
Just a fusion.
Yeah.
Actually, there was another article, we can talk about it next time, but about how it was, like, the percentage of mixed race couples and, like, how long they foresaw the actual, like, pure white race continuing versus all these and white nationalists, like, go figure. They were very upset by it.
Well, another thing too you gotta ask is the different, what, like, all the races that are considered white, do those mixings still count as a pure white person? Like, if you have an Irish person mixing with an Italian person, like, technically they're the same race, but they're hugely different culturally, and some of them even look different, but they still both count as white, and them having an offspring, that offspring would still be considered pure white when...
Well, I think it depends who you're posing those questions to. If you're posing them to, like,
Martin Callicott?
Or Callicott. Yeah, if you asked him, I'm sure he'd be fine with it. But again, it totally depends on who you're asking. And that's the... I don't feel like a lot of white cultures are being pushed out by these immigrants from countries like China or India or, you know, they're supplementing us, but they're not. I don't think anyone's going to, as far as I know, there are no Chinese people in Richmond being like, hey, white people, you can't have your white culture anymore.
Yeah, they're not.
No more eating cheeseburgers.
It's just, it's basically what happens is it's all financially and you vote for what you want. Like, if a person from another culture, like we joked about it before, but if a person from another culture comes in and they have delicious food, you're going to buy their delicious food because eating delicious food is pretty much the best thing that's
ever
happened.
One of the last joys in my life.
And so the people who make this delicious food are going to have a restaurant. And then if you have bland food that people have been eating for years, that person with the delicious food is restaurant will do better than the bland restaurant. So it's not the other person took their jobs. It's just their product was better and more delicious.
So are you arguing that these new immigrants are culturally superior to white people?
I'm saying in a lot of ways they have delicious food.
Like, purely thinking about the food here. That's it.
That's the easiest way to explain it without hurting somebody. Because everybody, no matter how racist they are, they're like, yeah, I could eat some butter chicken.
Yeah.
And you're like, And my thing is, if you're an actual racist, you shouldn't be allowed to eat other races' food.
And yet, they'll do it all the time.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I made some sweet curry last night. It's like, but you're racist.
We should build a wall between here and Mexico, but also, these enchiladas are delicious.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the thing is, you should just realize how much of their culture you put in your mouth and you love.
Can you frame so you that any differently?
You put their culture in your mouth.
Put their culture in your mouth.
That should be our new anti-racism slogan. Dude, put the culture in your mouth. And that's how we fight racism.
We should organize like a food against racism.
Oh my
like
God.
Multiculturalism.
Anything where I get to eat food.
There you go.
I'm in.
It's happening.
Awesome.
All right. As always, I am Derek Bolin at Herder on the Twitter machine.
I'm Dale DeRuiter at SuperDaleBot.
You can reach us both at OutrageFactPod or TheOutrageFactory@gmail.com. Please send us some messages of support. You can also find us on Patreon.
Patreon.
Whatever. Feel free to donate some money there.
Give us dollars so that we can irresponsibly spend it on stuff we don't need that is in no way related to the podcast.
Yeah.
I'm joking. We should probably buy a soundboard and more mics and delicious cultural food.
Yeah, mostly that. But it'll be for the good. We'll describe it to you while we eat it.
We will research food trucks to fight racism.
Thanks, Internet. Stay angry. Until next week.
We love you.
The president only makes the decision.